kind of studying over the Holy Spirit, our transcendent friend, the forgotten God of the Trinity. And I think it's so important that we do visit that topic. And this particular series is really more of a topical series when we're talking about the topic of the Holy Spirit, who He is, and what He does in our lives. And on week one, we talked about living a Spirit-filled life and kind of what that looks like, dying to ourselves and then being filled with the Spirit, being under His influence and allowing Him to navigate us through our lives. And then we're going to be going through some of the Holy Spirit's ministries in our lives, because the Holy Spirit does so much in our day-to-day life. The Holy Spirit, we're going to talk about His saving ministry. We'll talk about His sanctifying ministry, which will be so important, because the truth is, when we're talking about His saving ministry, most of us in here have already experienced that. We've already experienced that Christ has drawn us by His Spirit, and He has convicted us, and those things we talked about last week. But there is another aspect of the Holy Spirit's job in our lives, and that is sanctifying us. Do you know what it means to be sanctified? It means to be set apart. And we'll talk about that. It means that when something has been sanctified, it is being designated for a purpose. This is a sanctuary. It has been set apart for the purpose of worshiping, honoring, glorifying, serving God. That's why we don't have movie nights in here. That's why we don't have Nintendos and PlayStations in here. That's why we don't have dance parties in here. Because this is a sanctuary that has been set apart for the purpose of honoring and glorifying God. I see a lot of people waving their arms. Well, I'm sorry, guys. It's already turned down, so you're just going to have to keep waving, all right? And so I got my jacket off. I'm feeling good. I feel pretty good about life right now. And we're going to talk about that. We're going to talk about a strengthening ministry as well. The Holy Spirit comes along. He strengthens you day by day. But we're going to talk tonight about part two of His saving ministry. When we were together last time, we talked about how the Holy Spirit is the one who invites us, He convicts us, and He regenerates us. There is a work that happens in the life of a person that only the Holy Spirit can do. And that is the work of convicting a person of their sin and then convincing them of their need of a Savior. Only the Holy Spirit can do that. I couldn't talk till I was blue in the face and convince you that you're a sinner. The Holy Spirit does that. He comes along and says, this is sin in your life. It's a transgression against God's law. And then He is the one that convinces you that you need a Savior. That's why Jesus said what He said in the book of John, that when the Holy Spirit comes, He is going to convict of sin, righteousness, and judgment to come. He's going to show you what sin is. He's going to be an example to you to show you what the righteousness looks like, and that the fact that there is judgment that is coming. And so we're going to talk a little bit about this tonight, about the saving ministry of the Holy Spirit. You know, the Bible says that as it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understandeth. There is none that seeketh after God. By nature, we don't seek God. And you can say, well, I came to church. Yes. You can say, well, I came down the aisle. You can say that I came to Him to be saved only because the Holy Spirit drew you to Him. He does that. And here's how He does that. He does it through the preaching of His Word. I don't know how many of you are my virtual friends on Facebook. Do I have any virtual friends here tonight? I got two. Some of you are liars. You are my friend. I see you on Facebook. I see your hateful posts. Virtual friends. It's not real friends. Actual friends and virtual friends are different. But I don't know if any of y'all saw my post today about the need for preaching. Anybody see that? I shared a post. No, none of y'all. You stayed off Facebook today. Good for y'all. Y'all are binging, or you're liars. I don't know if you're binging or not binging. You're refraining from that, or you're just liars. I can't tell. But I shared something. It's worth watching. For all the other garbage that you watch, it's worth watching. And it's an old preacher talking about the difference in teaching and preaching. And he says, teaching will inform us. Preaching will move us. And he says that preaching, the Word of God, he said the Word of God by itself speaks about itself as being a hammer. It speaks about itself as being a sword. And it speaks about itself as being a fire. And he said, it is safe to assume that if I preach the word of God, it might hammer somebody to crush their spirit, it might pierce them through in their spirit, and it might ignite them on fire for Christ if I preach the word. He said, now once you preach to somebody and you've moved them, you can instruct them in teaching. There's nothing wrong with teaching, but we need preaching that draws us to Christ. So here's how he does it. He has a preacher come and say, here's the truth of God's word. And when that spirit, that preaching is spirit-filled and spirit-led, that spirit takes that word of God, which is sharper than any two-edged sword, and he takes the truth of God's word and he drives it into a heart of a man who otherwise would never have been affected by the thought that he's a sinner who needs a Savior. I could never convince a man that he needs a Savior. But that's why the Word of God is so important. That's why the Spirit of God is so important. Some people say, well, I don't believe in the Bible. Well, you not believing in the Bible does not diminish its power. You know, Johnny pulls out his gun and says, I'm going to shoot you with this gun. A liberal could say, well, I don't believe in guns. Well, that doesn't change the fact that his gun is still very powerful, right? It doesn't change, it doesn't diminish his gun just because he doesn't believe in guns. No, and so when someone says, I don't believe the Bible, you don't stop using it, because what God does is he says, my word will not return void. He takes his spirit and he takes his word and he drives them into a heart of a man. And only God's word, by God's spirit, can divide the heart of a calloused-hearted person. There have been calloused people who get saved, gloriously redeemed and changed forever. So we talked about some of those things. But here's some other things the Spirit does. I'll give them to you very quickly. Number one, the Holy Spirit reserves. 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 22. He talks about this in 2 Corinthians. I use the word reserve because it indicates that the Holy Spirit does this through sealing us. But in 2 Corinthians chapter 1 verse 22, it says, who hath sealed us and has given us the earnest of the Spirit in our hearts. So how long am I saved, Brother Raines? If the Holy Spirit drew me, and he regenerated me, he invited me, he convicted me, he regenerated, how long am I saved? Can I lose my salvation? Can I be unsaved once I've been saved? These are all good questions. And they're good questions that people are struggling with. There are good people who love the Lord Jesus who struggle with these questions. How long am I saved? Can I stay saved? When can I lose my salvation? Well, I use the word that the Holy Spirit reserves here because it indicates the way that the Holy Spirit does this through sealing us. He says in 2 Corinthians 1:22 that the Holy Spirit hath sealed us, that God hath sealed us and given us the earnest of the Spirit in our hearts. So I want you to know this, that when you were saved, do you remember that? Just think in your mind, do you remember when you were saved? All right? When you were saved, you are sealed. You're sealed by the Holy Spirit of God, and we are reserved unto God not to be cast away ever. All right? Think about the basis of your salvation. Here's why people struggle with the Holy Spirit reserving us. They struggle with this is because most people, the basis of their salvation is the basis of their own moral attributes. Their own performance. It's a performance-based religion. Many people struggle with being saved and secured and sealed by the Holy Spirit because it's based on their performance. Their being saved was a works-based performance. It's not faith-based. Think about the Pharisees. Think about the Pharisees. I see some of you look very skeptical. All right? That's okay. The Pharisees. If there's anybody on this planet who thought that they were saved, it would have been the Pharisees. Am I right? They thought, hey, listen, if anybody should go to heaven, good Lord, it's got to be us. We fast twice in a day. We give a tithe of everything we own. We do all these things. We give alms. We do many wonderful works. Yet when Jesus looked at them, he said what? You're nothing but vipers. You're hypocrites. You're whited sepulchers. You look good on the outside. On the inside, you're dead. Now, why is that? Why would Jesus say that to somebody who seems so religious? I mean, honestly, the Pharisees were the pinnacle of religious people. None of you will ever be as pious. None of you will ever be religious. None of you will ever be as moral as a biblical Pharisee. None of you, not one of you, especially not you. just teasing. You're probably the closest. You're the best Pharisee I know, Johnny. Yet Jesus says, you're hypocrites. You're liars. You're deceivers. You make men twofold the children of hell. You make burdens that nobody can carry. You yourself can't carry them. Why would he say that? Because their faith was based on their works. It was a performance-based faith. And so when my faith is based in my performance, when I'm not performing well, guess what happens to me? I begin to doubt my salvation. And I go, well, I must not be a Christian because... Have you ever thought this? Just be honest. You don't have to answer out loud. I know y'all struggle with that. Y'all can't even raise your hands. Have you ever thought this? How could I be a Christian? Would a Christian have ever done what I just did? You ever thought that? I have. Multiple times. I've gone, man, how can I call myself a Christian? A Christian surely would never have done that. One, you can't really doubt something you never had. You can't doubt a salvation you never experienced. And two, your salvation is not based on your performance. Now, your rewards in heaven will be based upon your performance. That's right. You will be judged based on those things. It will not determine. You go to 1 Corinthians, he says that every man's works will be tried by fire. The day will reveal them. The fire will reveal them as well. The day will declare them. The fire will reveal them. Every work, what it is. Is it wood, hay, and stubble? If it's wood, hay, and stubble, if it's just things that I did for my own honor, my own glory, they're going to get burned up in the fire. Precious stones, precious metals, those things will last. So what was Paul trying to say there? Was he saying that some people would lose their salvation, some people wouldn't? He said, no, and that's not what he's saying. He's saying some people's works were vain and empty, and they didn't last. They had no eternal value. Are they still going to go to heaven? Yes, but their works are going to be burned up. There's going to be no reward for those things. But when my basis of my salvation is based upon my own performance, then I'm going to struggle to believe that I ever have any security. Yet the Bible tells us that he has sealed us and he has given us the earnest of his spirit in our hearts. And so when you look at that, think about this. Think about the thief on the cross. I mean, I don't think there's a greater example than the thief on the cross. And I want to tell you this. None of you will ever be as pious and moral as a Pharisee. But none of you will ever have the faith of that thief on that cross. Right. Not one of you. Not me either. His faith is astounding. Astounding. He looked at a Savior who was defeated. He's looking at a Jesus who's unrecognizable. He's looking at a Jesus who didn't even defend himself, who could have at any moment called down 12 legions of angels to save himself. And in the midst of what looks like a defeated Savior, he says, I believe in your kingdom. And Jesus must have done something incredibly divine that day through his love and patience, because even the Roman centurion, when it was over, said, truly, this was the Son of God. Only divine love could have acted like this man acted. Only divine love could have done what he has done. And so the thief on the cross has no merits of his own. His basis was repentance and faith. That's it. No performance to judge him by. Do you know why so many people begin to question their salvation? Do you know why people struggle with their salvation? It's when they're not living like they're saved. You ever notice that people who are in church, people who are praying, people who are reading their Bibles, and people who are witnessing, you ever notice that they never doubt their salvation? You ever notice that? When do we begin to doubt it? We begin to doubt it when I drop out of church, when I stop communicating with God, when I stop reading my Bible, when I don't want to listen to Christian music, I don't want to talk to other Christians, when the preacher becomes a drag to see, I can't stand him no more, and some of you probably already long past that point, but that happens. Then all of a sudden you begin to think, well, am I even saved? But nobody doubts those things when they're in walking in the Spirit of God. That's why that's important, by the way. So the basis of your salvation is repentance and faith. Think about the beauty of your sealing here. He says that we're sealed. The Bible says in Ephesians 1:13, in whom we also have trusted after that you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom you also believed, ye were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. There's that Holy Spirit again. There he is, sealing us, securing us. At the moment of belief and salvation, you are sealed. What does that mean? Well, in ancient times, a seal was a stamp made into a signet, a private mark for the ruling king. And so it indicated security. He'd have his ring, his signet. And when they had any kind of official documentation, I would imagine that when they sealed the tomb of Jesus, I would imagine that they probably put a seal on that. They probably put the king's signet on there. He takes a piece of wax. If he has a scroll, puts a piece of wax on there, seals it with his signet, his ring, and indicates security, preservation, and ownership, authority. So when the king seals something, it is the official stamp of ownership and authority. This document is from the king. It has official documents in it. It belongs to him. The Holy Spirit is God's stamp of ownership on your life. When he saved you, he put his stamp on you. By his Spirit being there as a stamp in your life, he has sealed you unto the day of redemption. The Holy Spirit is evidence that you belong to God. You're his child. Look with me at Ephesians chapter 4 real quick. Ephesians chapter 4, look at verse 30. Ephesians chapter 4, Paul talks about this sealing as well. Let's just back up. Let's back up to verse 29, and we'll read on out. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 29. He says, "Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. And let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you." He says that by the Holy Spirit we're sealed. He's given us adoption. He's given us sealing. He says that the Holy Spirit is the earnest of our salvation. Now, y'all are familiar with an earnest payment, right? You know what an earnest is? Earnest payment is, it's a down payment that says, I intend to come back and complete this transaction. I am coming back to finish this. I am giving an earnest payment. And if you don't go back and complete the transaction, guess what you do? You forfeit that earnest money, right? When the Spirit of God becomes the earnest of our salvation, it is God sealing us, securing us, and telling us that he is coming back to finish what he started. He's coming back to finalize the transaction. He is purchasing us by the blood of Jesus Christ, but he is sealing us by the Spirit of God, and that Spirit is the earnest that God is going to finish what he started inside of us. So here's some good news about the Holy Spirit. He reserves us. He not only convicts us, he not only invites us, he not only regenerates us, the Holy Spirit reserves us as well. And here's something else he does. He renews us. Do you ever get tired of New Year's resolutions that never seem to pan out? They just fade away. Have you given up on those? Do you ever get sick of old habits that never seem to go away? Do you ever get tired of trying to turn over a new leaf just to find out that there's bugs underneath that leaf on the other side? I got some news for you. As if our transcendent friend hasn't already amazed us enough or done enough, he's about to do more. He not only reserves us, he renews us. And he does it drastically. He does it by the renewing of the Holy Ghost, according to Titus chapter 3, verse 5. He does this by indwelling us. You see, when you're saved, it's not just the turning over of a new leaf. It's not just another fresh start. It is a transforming engagement that happens with the Holy Spirit where he begins to change you from the inside. See, a Christian's supposed to be a new person. You know, Chris and I were having this conversation today. Chris and I went over to Strother School to pray with the school people over there with Brother Hedge and Sister Shotzi and all those folks, and the Ghosts were there, and Brother Gabe was there. And on the way back, we were talking about this. We're talking about if people are saved or not. Now, I want to say this. I'm becoming pretty cynical in my old age. The longer I live, the less I think people are saved. I mean, I'm serious. I'm like, I'm just beginning to think, is anybody saved at all? And you say, well, Brother Raines, we cannot determine. I had someone ask me, said, do you think we can actually determine that? The answer is yes. I think we can. And now, I can't look into your soul and see if you've been saved or not. But I can look at your life and see if there's been any change or not. I can see the evidences in your life. And when the Holy Spirit comes in, he doesn't give us a fresh start. I mean, he does, but it isn't like he's just cleaning the place up. He doesn't just come in and clean your life up. He comes in and transforms your life from the inside out. That's why Jesus spent so much time talking about your heart, because the heart is what makes things happen on the outside of you. What comes out of your mouth is from your heart. What comes out of your hands is from your heart. Jesus isn't just making us better people. He's changing us. That's why the Bible says, if any man be in Christ Jesus, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. He changes us from the inside. He changes our heart. He changes the paradigm of how we think. He changes us by our minds. He changes us drastically. He brings all of his strength. He brings the enabling of God to live within you and to transform you from the inside. He takes you from who you are to who you can be with his help. And so many people say, man, I'm just so inadequate. I couldn't do. That's right where you need to be. I can't. When you decide that you can't and that you aren't, you're right in the place where you need to be, where God can say, you're right, but I can and I will. And I can do it through you. Your strength will be made perfect, or your weakness will be made perfect in my strength. I'll strengthen you. I will take you from what you are to what you can be by my help. Now, he not only renews us drastically, but the Holy Spirit renews us daily. In 2 Corinthians 4, we're told that for which cause we faint not, but though the outward man perisheth, yet the inward man is renewed. Look at this. Day by day. That's 2 Corinthians 4:16 for anybody who's looking at it or writing it down. 2 Corinthians 4:16. One of the greatest things the Holy Spirit does is this. He doesn't just come and regenerate us and then leave us on our own hoping for the best. He's your daily companion. Here's why Christians struggle. They don't realize that they have a power source to tap into most of the time. Christians think, well, I've been saved. It's up to me to keep myself saved. It's up to me to live a good life. It's up to me to do the best I can. And we walk in our own strength over and over and over and over again. And guess what happens when you walk in your own strength without reaching into God's power source? Is you begin to struggle and fade and fall out. You're not going to. How many of you have ever been weary in your spirit? How many of you have been tired of the grind? How many of you have been tired of even the ministry work? Yes. The answer is yes. Everybody has. But here's what's great is the Holy Spirit is there as your transcendent friend who's whispering in your ear day by day. He says, even though my outward man perisheth, my inner man is renewed day by day. How does that happen? By the Spirit of God inside of you. He's the one whispering to your soul saying, go on. You got it. You're good enough. You can make it. I've got your back. I've got you here. I'm going to lift you up. I'm going to protect you. I'm going to provide for you. He's the one that renews us day by day. Listen to me. I don't know about you, but my outward man is perishing. Can you tell? Thank you. And so is yours. So is yours. I saw pictures of myself from just 3 or 4 years ago before I became the pastor here. My outward man is perishing. He's getting bigger, but he's perishing. I'm withering away just in a different fashion, okay? For some reason, as I wither, I get larger. But what makes a Christian get out of bed in the morning? I mean, my back hurts. My brain is tired. My spirit is vexed. Your spirit ever get vexed? You ever struggle to go, is it worth it? Does anybody care? Am I making a difference? All you school teachers, we got a bunch of school teachers in here. Do you ever think, man, it's just, I'm trying to be a godly influence in my school, and it's just so hard, and the kids don't seem to care, and the kids aren't what they used to be. We all know that's true. When I was y'all's age, I had 2 full-time jobs. Right? That's what we always tell my kids. And you just begin to go, man, is it even worth it? Let me ask you, what causes a Christian to put his feet on the floor? How does he get out of bed? The Spirit of God renews us day by day. He's that second wind. You ever catch your second wind? You drive to Florida because your family wants to go to Florida, Brother Darren? And it's ignorant to drive to Florida. Wouldn't you agree, Brother Darren? Can I get a witness over? It's ignorant. It's the ignorantest thing ever. I don't know why anybody do that. But your family wants to go to Florida. You should drive to Florida, right? And as you're driving, you get weary. Your outward man begins to perish. It doesn't matter how many Buc-ee's are here between here and Florida. It doesn't matter. Your outward man is perishing. Man cannot live by beaver nuggets alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Right? You can't live on that stuff alone. But as you're going, man, it's like at one point you kind of hit a second wind. You go, man, I got a little more in the tank. There's a little more in my tank. I can go. It's a shot of encouragement. How does the guy get that? Well, the Spirit is there. He's like a drink of water in the middle of a desert. And in the moments that you're about to faint, and you think, I can't do this anymore, the Spirit of God will come along and He'll give you what you need. He'll renew you day by day. Now listen, you have to, don't ignore the Holy Spirit and then expect Him to show up and renew you. Okay? That's right. It's like ignoring your wife and expecting her to show up and give you a hug and a kiss. That ain't fixing to happen, right? You've ignored her all day. You didn't listen to any of her memes. You didn't respond to any of her videos that she sent you, right? You didn't text her back. You didn't call her. You didn't call her at lunch. You didn't have lunch with her. But then you come home and say, hey, honey, it's so good to see you. And you want to give her a hug and a kiss. And she's like, oh, no, 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 no. You got this confused. Don't ignore the Holy Spirit and then wonder where He's at. That's why it's important for a Christian to walk in the Spirit, to choose daily to get up and say, today I'm going to walk in the Spirit. Today I'm going to choose to be in communication with God. And as you're in communication with God, here's what He's going to do. He's going to renew your spirit. What does that look like, Brother Rains? It could look like any number of things. It could look like somebody quitting on you and then somebody else walking in. You don't know how you're going to replace that person. And somebody else walks in and says, I need a job. And you go, wow, I didn't know how I was going to replace this person. And God renews your spirit by the time that you're down. It could look like you lost your job, but God gives you another job. And you go, well, okay, I didn't know. He gives you a better job. And you say, well, what does it look like, Brother Rains? It could be that you're just having a bad day. I want to tell you something. I had some bad days this last week. Did y'all have any bad days this last week? I had six of them. Six of them. In a row, consecutive days. They were bad days. And about day four, I was stressed to the maximum. And one of my friends that I don't speak to very often, out of the blue, texted me and said, Brother Rains, I just want you to know I thought about you today. And I got on my knees and I prayed for you today. I mean, out of the blues. I mean, I'm coming across to the driveway and I mean, I am whooped. My outward man was perishing and my inner man was struggling. And my friend sent me a message and said, I'm praying for you today. All I could say was, you don't know how much I needed to hear that. See, God will use people like that to renew you day by day. Just little moments. But you got to be in tune to Him. You got to be in tune to His Spirit. You got to be in tune to other things. And then God knows what you need when you need it. God will bring it along. He'll strengthen you day by day. He does it by His Holy Spirit. And we never talk about Him. We ignore Him. We don't invite Him to our churches. We don't invite Him into our decisions. We don't invite Him into our marriages. We don't invite Him into our worship services. We don't invite Him anywhere. And yet He is there all the time begging to be our transcendent friend, that third person, that third unforgotten, that forgotten God of the Trinity. Now, so the Holy Spirit renews us. He reserves us. He seals us. He is the earnest of our salvation. And the Holy Spirit reassures us. We look in Romans. It says that in Romans chapter 8, I don't have it pulled up here. Romans chapter 8, there it is, verses 15 and 16. It says, for we have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself bearing witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. We love to sing that song, Blessed Assurance. I love that song. Last night we went to a youth revival in Roland, Oklahoma. Me and Brother Gabe and three girls, my two girls and their friend. And Gabe and I had a little sing-a-thon coming home. We sang a bunch of hymns coming home. And he sang the melody and I tried to sing the harmony. And the girls made fun of us. And that's okay. And we just went through this song, like, give me your top five hymns, Brother Gabe, and give me your top five hymns. And I got a top 100 list, but here's my top, you know, top five fast speed ones. Here's my top five invitation songs. Here's my top five whatever songs, you know. But Blessed Assurance is on that list. Blessed Assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. Heir of salvation, purchased of God, born of His Spirit, washed in His blood. This is my story. This is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. Listen, we love assurance. We love to know everything's going to be okay. We love to know that no matter what happens, the Lord is there. And listen, there is nothing sweeter than assurance. The Holy Spirit gives us assurance. He not only renews us, He regenerates us, He reserves us, and He reassures us that we belong to God. He says that we're given the spirit of adoption. We've received the spirit of adoption whereby we cry, Abba, Father. As just like little orphans that are lost without a home or without a hope, we have Jesus who has brought us into His family. And I want to tell you something about biblical adoption. In biblical times, you have a biological child. You have the right to decide if that child is going to carry on your name and your family estate. You have the right to decide that. A man could say, listen, my son, he's biologically mine, but he is not living for God. He is not working in my family business. He's not honoring me. And so a man could decide if he was going to carry out his name through this child or basically disown this child and not allow this child to carry out his estate. But at the same time, if somebody adopted a child in biblical times, that adopted child could never be disowned by the father who adopted them. It's crazy to think, isn't it? The biological child could be shunned, but the adopted child could never be disowned. And so Paul so astutely says, he has given us the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. Literally translated, Dada. Like a little baby dependent upon his father. Now, when he says he's given us the spirit of adoption, what does that do for me? Well, if I understand biblical customs in ancient times, I know from that means he will not disown me. He can't disown me. He's never going to toss me out. My assurance is not in myself. My assurance is not in my performance. What if your child thought, well, I better hit two home runs today or Dad's going to put me up for adoption? And some of you are probably thinking, yeah, so I've already told that sucker if he don't hit two, he better get that batting average up or adoption, right? I mean, if you're a child and that's what you thought about your father. Now, I will say this. When my son played football in Little League and I coached him, he rode to the games with me. He rode home with his mother. There's a reason for that. Gabe, you were there. Because dads have a higher expectation for football than moms do. Moms don't really care. They just don't want Junior to get hurt, right? Want Junior to be safe. But we didn't ride home together. But I don't think my son ever thought, man, if I don't throw two touchdown passes or score a touchdown, my dad's going to put me up for adoption. Nobody wants to live like that. And let me ask you this, what kind of father would that be? What kind of father would it be to say, listen, if you don't please me, the moment you make a mistake, I'm done with you. You just get your little hiney out of my car and get on with your life. Get a job. I don't care if you are in fourth grade. You get out. What kind of father would that be? It's not what he does. The Holy Spirit reassures us that we're his child. We're his child. He has chosen us. And listen, here's the thing. I'm a child of God twice. Not just because I'm twice born, but I'm his by creation. And I'm his by redemption. He's redeemed me. He's brought me into his family, adopted me as his own. And he will not disown me. That gives me great assurance. That's why I can sing Blessed Assurance. Jesus is mine. Listen, if my assurance was based on my performance, I couldn't lay my head down and sleep in peace at night. In Christ alone, my hope is found. He gives us not only the spirit of adoption, he gives us his Holy Spirit assurance that we are the children of God. Constant assurance to the heart is a knowledge of affirmation for salvation that we need so desperately. And here's what it does. Here's what it does. When somebody knows that they're free to be themselves, it frees them up to serve God so much better. When I was working for Canadian Valley 100 years ago, we had to climb these poles. And I was a pretty good woodwalker. But I'm not going to lie to you, I had to lie to get that job. Because in my interview, they said, "Are you afraid of heights?" And I said, "No, I'm not afraid of heights." I was terrified. Anything over 4 feet, I'm with OSHA. You need fall protection, anything over 4 feet. You know what I'm talking about? I'm with OSHA on that one. I was terrified of heights, but I needed that job. And so the first time I went out there, they were like, "Here, put these hooks on and climb up that pole." I'm like, "Okay." And I want to tell y'all something. I'm going to tell you a little truth. Those poles don't look very tall from down here, but when you get up there and you're looking back down, they're taller. They're the same height, but they don't look the same. And I can remember going up the first time, that pole shaking like this the whole way up there, you know. And I get up there and I'm trying to work like this, you know, and work like this, you know. I can remember them saying, "Hey, listen, you little girl, we don't need any one-armed linemen. Turn loose." I needed that assurance. And once I figured out my equipment's good, my belt is strong, my tools are all there, when I figured out my hooks are going to hold me, it freed me up to work. When I knew I wasn't going to fall, I'm free to work. A person who's constantly afraid of failure, rejection, heartache, disownment is going to spend their whole life fearing rather than serving. But when you say, "Jesus has got me, he bought me, and the Holy Spirit saved me, sealed me, and has secured me, now I'm free to live." Salvation is not an imprisonment. Salvation is a freedom. Sin is a prison. Salvation is freedom. And when I am sealed by the Spirit and secured by him, I'm free to live. Now, you say, "Well, Brother Raines, does that mean I'm free to do whatever I want?" No, a born-again child of God wants to do that which pleases his Father. That doesn't grieve the Holy Spirit. But I am free to live and love and serve without fear of my Father disowning me. He's not going to do it. The Holy Spirit is such a tremendous, tremendous, transcendent friend to us. Amen? Let's pray together. Father, thank you so much for your Spirit. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for all that your Spirit does in our lives. We don't even, honestly, God, we don't even think about a third of what he does in our lives. But he's there and he's working in our lives to give us that assurance. And God, I pray tonight that I know that there are people who still struggle with, am I saved? Can I know I'm saved? Did I lose my salvation? Did I have to get resaved? Lord, just steal their hearts. Help them to realize that their salvation is not about them, never has been. And Lord, as you give them assurance and as you renew their inner man day by day, teach them to love you more deeply. And as we feel that blessed assurance, it ought to cause us to love and serve and just, it ought to free our hands up to love you and serve you as you need us to and as you want us to. Lord, thank you so much for drawing us to you, because we didn't seek you. We only love you, God, because you first loved us. Thank you for seeking after us and giving us your Spirit to save us and seal us. May we honor you and glorify you in all that we do. Bless our business meeting at this time. May everything that we do, God, be about you and your kingdom. We pray in Jesus' name.